privilege for us to welcome Mike and Kate Chance tonight. Let's just welcome them. Bless them. They are friends of Dots and mine, but they're friends of Kingdom Faith, and they're particularly friends of Kingdom Faith London. And they've been sowing into our lives here for a considerable number of years now. And each time they come here, they put something in our lives which just gets us to the next rung of the ladder. And it's been so good to have them. So welcome, Mike. Come and bless us and give us the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Man, thank you. Good to be here. Always good to be in London. We love England. We love Dot and Les, and we love you, and we love this church, and we love this city, because this city is not only a key city in England and Britain, it's a key city in Europe, and it's also a key city in the entire world. So this is a great place to be. And this is a great church to be in, because you are blasting a hole in the heavens above this place through your worship, and you're bringing a portal of light that is overflowing into the city. So let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Matthew 16. And this could be a kind of a different kind of message. It might be like a tag team. I might at one point just tap my wife's hand and she's going to come up and take us to the next level. But we'll see how that works. So anyway, here in Matthew 16, Jesus is talking about the church that he is building. And he said, I will build my church. He didn't say that we should build his church. And he didn't say that he would build our church. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I like the translation, will not prevail against it, because the NIV says will not be overcome by it. The gates of hell will not overcome it. It sounds like that the church is on the defensive. We're pushing the piano against the door, and we're not letting the devil in. And it's the other way around. We're the ones that are going forward. The kingdom of God is on a forceful advance. We're the ones that are going upward and onward. It's not the devil coming against us. We are coming against the enemy's tactics, and we are taking captivity captive. We are the ones that are on the offensive, moving forward, and it's the enemy's kingdom that is trying to resist us. But Jesus said, there is a church that will overcome. There is a church that will go forward, and the gates of hell will not be able to prove itself stronger than this church. And this kind of church is the church that Jesus builds, and he builds it upon the rock. Not just any kind of church, but the church that is built upon the rock will stand. We're living in times where we need to be able to stand. We need to be strengthened. We need to be filled with hope. It's not a time to despair. It's not a time to have fear. It's not a time to look down. It's a time to look up. And it's a time to open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. It's a time for us to open our hearts. It's a time like never before to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a time for us to be aware of what heaven is saying. It's a time for us to be aware of what heaven is doing. It's a time for a mingling of heaven and earth. It's a time when God is intent upon mingling heaven and earth. It's a time when the praise and the worship that is filling heaven spills over into the earth, and the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of God like the waters cover the sea. So in Matthew 16, Jesus talks about this church and he says it's going to be built upon the rock. Now to understand what the rock is, we have to look at what comes before that. So let's look in verses 13, sorry. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then verse 15, "But what about you?" he asked, "Who do you say I am?" Now here is the key, first key of the rock. Who do you say that I am? Peter answered and he said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." You are the Messiah. In other words, you are the one that we have been waiting for. You are the one that is the fulfillment of all of the hope of the prophets. You are the one that was spoken of throughout the entire Bible. You are the one that was spoken about from the time that man fell and God came into the garden and preached the first message of the good news. He said that the seed of the woman was going to be bruised on the heel, but he was going to crush the head of the devil. From that point on, the good news has been announced throughout the entire books of the Bible. In the Old Testament, the prophets spoke of this one that was coming. And he would be God himself. He would be the king. He would be the anointed one. He would be the one that would gather all the promises of God into himself and fulfill everything that God had ever spoken. And Peter said, "You are this one. You're the one. You're the coming one. You're the one that we've been expected. You're the one. We're not waiting anymore. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the anointed one. You are the expected one. You are the promised one. All of our hope is in you. We have no other hope. He is the hope of the nations. He is the hope of all mankind. He is not only the hope of Christians, he is the hope of everything, because without him, this whole world would fall apart. You are the anointed one, you are the Messiah, and you are the Son of the living God. It's all about who Jesus is. It's all about him. It's all about him coming into this world. Him, the one that has the authority. Him, he is the one that God gave everything to. He is the heir of all things. Everything that God ever promised, he fulfilled in him. Everything that God ever dreamed, everything that God ever purposed is fulfilled in him. He has come. We are not waiting any longer. He has come. He is the one that bore our sins on the cross. He is the one that took not only our sins to the cross, he took us and we died there too. He is the one who rose again from the dead because the grave couldn't keep him. He didn't have any sin, so he couldn't stay dead. Death couldn't hold him. The chains were broken. The Holy Spirit came in him, raised his body from the dead, and he ascended to the right hand of God. He is right there, right now, seated at the right hand of God, exalted above every principality, every power, every force of darkness, every force of light. Jesus is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. All authority has been given to him in heaven and in earth. It's all about who Jesus is. It's all about his glory. It's all about his authority. It's all about his kingdom. He is the one that came and announced The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is here. Everyone, drop everything you're doing and pay attention to what I'm saying. That's what Jesus said. I'm saying that too, but that's what Jesus said. Drop everything you're doing and listen to what I'm saying. The time is fulfilled. That time that you have been waiting for, it's fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. Reach out and touch it. That's what Jesus said. The kingdom, the authority that God gave Jesus to reign is here.
Amen.
He is the one. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his kingdom. It's all about who he is. It's all about what he has done. He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He is the Son of the living God. He is God eternal, come in the likeness of human flesh, and for us bore our sins in his body on the cross. And he is the one who has come and rescued us. He is the one. And you want to be where he is? Let me tell you something. John said, as he is, so also are we in this world. Not when we get to heaven, but right now, as he is, so are we also in this world. That's the second part of the rock. See, because Jesus said, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. He said to his disciples, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. It has to come by revelation. The rock is not the confession of who Jesus is. The rock is the revelation of who Jesus is. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed to you. And I tell you, you are Peter. In the Greek, it's Petros. And then Jesus said, upon this rock, and in the Greek, it's Petra. Petros is the little rock. Not Little Rock, Arkansas, but the little rock. Petra is the massive rock. And out of the massive rock comes the little rocks. Just like Peter said, Peter took this whole picture later and he said, we come to the living stone and then we're built together like living stones. See, we are a chip off the old block. We're not something else. We're not another rock over there. We are taken out of him. We belong to him. I like it in the message. It says, now you know who I am. The Father has shown you who I really am. Now I'm going to tell you who you really are. You see, that is an important part of the rock that Jesus is building his church upon. Knowing who we are. Not just knowing who he is, but also knowing who we are in him. Knowing who the church is. What is the church? What is it that God sees inside of him when he says church? What is it that God envisioned when he created that which we call the church? What is it that God has in his heart when he thinks of the church? I somehow think it's not everything that goes in the name of church. I somehow think it's not everything that comes up in our mind when we hear the word church. What does God associate with that word church? What is it that God has in his heart? What is it that Jesus saw in his spirit when he said, I will build my church on this rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it? What is that church? That church is the coming together of those living stones, building the house of God, Peter said, we are built together as living stones to a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are well-pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. That's what the church is. The church is those living stones being built together, because living stones, no matter how beautiful they are, a bunch of stones don't make a house unless they're built together. The church is not just about a bunch of independent individuals, but the church is about people coming together in unity and under the banner of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Coming together for His glory. Coming together for His purposes. Coming together, called out. The Greek word ekklesia, two words, ek and kleo. Ekkleo, to be called out. We are the called out ones. Abraham was the first called out one. Up until the chapter 11 of Genesis, it was the whole world. But then from chapter 12, God calls out one man and He says, I'm going to make a nation out of you. And that's what the church is. The church is the called out ones. We are called out of darkness into His marvelous light. And we are called out with a purpose, coming together under His banner and worshiping Him, giving Him our allegiance, giving Him the glory. We become those called out ones for the purpose. In the Greek, that word ekklesia meant a special assembly. It was a governmental, legislative assembly. They were called out of the city. They came together. They weren't just called out. They were called out to come together. And as they came together, decisions were made. Decrees were made. This is the purpose of the church. We're in this world not just to hide from the Antichrist. We're in this world to make a difference. We're in this world, and it doesn't matter how big we are or how little we are. It matters how adhesive we are. It matters how joined together we are. It matters us standing together, and we are a mighty force. Not only in this city, but in this nation, in this continent. Europe is, without a doubt. There was a book that came out years ago called The Last Giant. I'm sorry to say it's not the last giant. It might be the next giant. But the last giant is Europe. Europe is a stronghold that needs to be broken through. And the only thing that will break it through is a massive rising up of the real people of God, of the Church of Jesus Christ, taking their stand and learning to be the church that God has called us to be. Not just to be some kind of a meeting place, but to be a place where when we meet, decrees are made, decisions are made that will have an effect on the history of this city, on the history of this nation, on the history of this continent, and on the history of this world. We live in Germany. We've been in Germany for the last 38 years. And Germany is without a doubt that the key for Europe. Britain is a strong, strong key for the entire world. So much goes out of this nation that affects the entire world. This is a time for Britain to shine with the light and the glory of Jesus Christ. This is a time for the people of God to rise up. And I am excited because I believe that there is a special purpose in the heart of God for joining together Britain and Germany. taking their stand together, marching together on the same side under the same banner, Jesus Christ is Lord. Joining forces to overthrow the forces of darkness in darkest Europe. It is time for us to rise. It is time for us to be the church that is built upon the rock that the gates of hell will not prevail against. By the way, gates are something that do not move around. We are storming the gates. The gates are not storming us. Imagine the gates coming at you. Gates don't come at you. Gates are there to hold you out. But this promise says that God is building his church upon the rock, and the gates of hell, they may stand there and they may try to resist us, but they will not prevail, because there is a promise in the book of Isaiah that says the Messiah will break through iron gates. And he will take us in, and he will give us the treasures that are in darkness. And the thing that I think is the treasure in the heart of God, the biggest treasure in the heart of God, is people. God wants to take us through the gates, through the iron gates, through every barrier that's lifted up against us, to take us through the gates, and to get the treasures that are lying there in the darkness. God loves the world. He still loves the world. He gave his only son to reach people. He didn't just give his son to reach Christians. He gave his son to reach the world. And it's time for us to rise up. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I want to just take you for a second to Genesis chapter 28. Reading this a couple of weeks ago, and got excited about what I saw in here. It's about Jacob's dream. Man. Chapter 28, Genesis chapter 28. And he's going to his uncle's place, and on the way, he's fleeing actually his father's family. And on the way, he just stops at some place and he lays his head down and he goes to sleep. And in his dream, verse 12, he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. This is the real stairway to heaven. With its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and Isaac, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west, and to east and north and to the south. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. I love that. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. This is the very first time in the Bible the house of God appears. And when you usually when you find something for the first time, the first mention, it's called in interpreting the Bible, the law of first mention, when you find something for the first time in the Bible, It's an indication. Take a look. Now here's the first time the house of God is mentioned. And the interesting thing of it is, it's not a building. It's outside. Praise God, we're not outside. It's cold out there. So I thank God for this building. But this building, as beautiful as it is, and as a wonderful place that it is, this is not the church. This is not the house of God. This is the house of God. See, there was no building there, but there two things constitute the house of God. God. Amazing, huh? I thought that was an amazing point. The house of God without God is not very good. Okay? So, God, but the other thing is us. Because the house of God is where God and people come together. The house of God is God meeting with his people and his people meeting with God. That's what the church is all about. God meeting with us, us meeting with God. And the second thing of it is he said, this is the gate of heaven. This is the place. Jesus was the fulfillment of this. Jesus quotes this and said, you will see the Son of Man, the heavens open, and the Son of Man, the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He is the real stairway to heaven. Amen. Not Led Zeppelin. Jesus Christ is the real stairway to heaven. And the house of God is the gate of heaven. The place where heaven and earth meet. It's the place, the church is a house that is on the edge of two worlds. And we open the gates. I like to do this often. Since I saw this, I just every once in a while be in my room alone and I just lift up my hands and I just say, the gates are open. Why don't you just do that right where you're sitting? Just lift up your hands and just say, the gates are open. The gates are open. We're opening the gates. We are actually the gate of heaven. Whoa. Just say that. We are the gate of heaven. We're a house of God. This is the house of God, the gate of heaven. Heaven has an inroad through us into this place, into this city. We're opening the gates. We're opening the gates, and we're letting heaven come in. Jesus said, I give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you open will be opened in heaven. Whatever you close will be closed in heaven. God said to Jesus, I'm laying upon him, on his shoulder, the key of David, and he will open a door that no man can shut, and he will shut a door that no man can open. And Jesus said, I am the one who has the key of David, who opens a door and no man shuts, who shuts a door and no man opens, and I am giving you this key. I am giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth shall be forbidden in heaven. In other words, whatever you see forbidden in heaven, you can forbid it on earth. Whatever you see allowed in heaven, you can allow it on earth. And God has given you together. God has given you together a piece of this earth. And you can take your stand. God is, is doing a wonderful work in this place. Because I this is what I sense when I pray for you. I sense that God is building a nucleus. And he's forming a people together. It's adhesive, coming together. And in the same way that Jesus said this to 12 people, and that spread to 120, and that spread to 3,000, and that spread to 5,000 more, and that spread every day, people were being added to the church. And then it spread to the bigger part of the area of Judea, and then it spread throughout the Greek and Roman world at that time. And I believe that God is building a nucleus here. He's doing something, and if he can get that nucleus together, that as people come into your midst, they will be added into that. They will come into that same DNA. They will come into that same formation, and that same virus will infect them, and they will be able to, you'll be able to grow and grow and grow. Here we come. Come on.
I don't really have too much to say after that, but I do want to say, I do believe that's really important that we understand these three points that Mike was preaching. The revelation of Christ, the church, the rock. Or you could even say Daniel saw that statue with all the kingdoms of this earth. And he saw God take a rock out of a mountain without hands. Jesus is not a work of men, and the church is not a work of men. It's a work of God. It's a supernatural, born from above, born from heaven. And so that rock, it started to roll, and it hit that statue on the feet, and the whole statue crumbled. Well, we know the book of Revelation says the kingdoms of this world, they have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And we're coming into this phase where the rock is rolling. Amen. If you remember anything tonight, remember rock and roll. Rock and roll. Rock and roll. Okay. And then, Mike said, on the rock, Jesus builds his church. It's interesting in Genesis 1, where God made Adam and Eve, the word where God formed Adam out of the dust is the word like a potter forming something with clay. God actually reached into the earth and he formed Adam like a potter. And then he breathed into man the breath of life. But it says he put Adam to sleep when he was going to get his bride. And then it says he took a rib out of Adam. He took out of his life. He took something from his side. And he uses the word, and he built a woman. He didn't have the same word as a potter. He built it. And that's the same word where Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my partner. I will build the church. And Adam and Eve, God blessed them and gave them the dominion over the earth. And so out of Christ, what Mike was saying, the church is made of people that have the life of Christ in them. People that have the divine life from heaven. And I just want to add a few, one or two little points. Mike said everything. But that word ecclesia, It is the people that gather on the rock. You come together. That's the church. People that are gathered on Christ, gathered into the presence of Christ. And when we're in that presence, when we come to worship, and you're building a worship altar here, another thing that ekklesia meant in the Greek language, and that's a Greek word, it was the citizens of Greece. You know, Greece was at that time ruled over the world, but not everyone in the Greek Empire was a citizen of Greece. Just like Mike and I, we live in Germany, but we don't have the European passport. We have the American passport. We're not citizens in Europe. We're not citizens in Germany. We can't vote, and we don't have some of the privileges. But the ecclesia were the people that had the citizenship, and when they were going to vote, the citizens gathered. The assembly came together, and they made the decisions. And that's what I think is so important for us to understand. Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church, my house, my assembly, my citizens, and I give you the keys of the kingdom. I always ask, who has the keys? Does Jesus do it, or do we do it? We have the keys. The church has the keys, and if you have the keys, you own, you lock it, you let people in, you keep things out, it's yours. The keys are in our hands. If we don't use them, it won't get done. This is, to me, the greatest revelation that the victory that Jesus won on the cross, the victory over the enemy, all that he's released of the kingdom of healing, of salvation, he's given it to us. We are a ruling community. And that's why I really believe what God is doing here and all over the world is he's building these worship altars, these houses where we fellowship, meet with God, but he wants us also, while we're praying, worship, prayer, and then using the keys, releasing God's will, saying, this is loosed in this city. We loose a youth revival. We loose a worship revival that is not going to stop. We take those keys and we set it, and that's what I like. The rock is rolling, and the gates of hell have to make way that we can come in and take the kingdom. We're rolling forward. And I believe God's calling you tonight to stand up and say, I'm on the rock that's going forward. Amen. I'm rolling on that rock and in that authority of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and that we're convinced that we have this victory entrusted to us. We have this great salvation. We have these keys to use. I just wanted to show you two things from the Bible because it helps me to see it in the Bible, exactly what that could mean. These scriptures in Esther, if you have your Bible, having the keys of the kingdom. Esther was a queen. Esther had, in verse 5, and she was an intercessor for her people, but she had access to the king, and I love this, she put on her kingly robes. He gave her the robe. She didn't go into the king's presence as an orphan or in her own robes or in her own beggar robes. She put on the kingly robes. And then the king stretched out the scepter. And I felt like God said to me that this church, he's stretching out the scepter. You're pleasing to him through your worship. The worship goes up. Esther was so submissive, so pleasing, so beautiful. She had such a meek spirit. And the king was so touched by her. He put out the scepter and he said, what do you want, Queen Esther? Up to half the kingdom. He was offering her co-rulership. Come, sit with me, half the kingdom. He was giving her that authority, that co-rulership. She was pleasing in his sight. And then the story goes on. But in chapter 8, she got a lot of her requests. She exposed the enemy, and the king really moved. But there was still a wicked plot against her people, the Jewish people. And she couldn't bear to see her people annihilated and killed. And she starts going to the king again, and she's crying. And the king says, "What is your request, Queen Esther?" And then she says she can't bear to see her people and everything. And then, I love this, in verse 7, chapter 8, the king said to the Queen Esther, "Indeed, I have given Esther the house of Haman. They have hanged him on the gallows." Okay, in verse 8, "You yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke." He had given them the ring. They already had the ring. With the king's name on the ring and whatever was written, and if they used the ring, it would be done. And that's exactly these keys of the kingdom. We have them. And here it says, "You write the decree and seal it with the ring that I've given you." What did Jesus say when he went to heaven? Six times he says, "If you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you." So we have the authority. We've been delegated the victory. It's been committed to us. We can use it. We can establish a decree. And when you, I just want to encourage you, when you're in the presence of God and you're up there in that victory, release those decrees over the city. Release that victory to penetrate into the government. Release that to move forward. Rock, roll forward. Rock and roll. Move forward in the name of Jesus Christ. For he says, "You make the decrees. What you think would be good, and seal it with the king's signet ring." And so, Mordecai, they wrote it. And it says, "And he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, sealed it with the king's signet ring, and sent the letters by couriers on horseback, riding on royal horses bred from swift steeds. By these letters, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together and protect their lives." So they wrote it in the king's name, and when the people read it, the king said this. So we have these keys. And one more scripture in the book of Haggai. This is the church Jesus is building in this hour. "I'm persuaded for many, many years that the church Jesus is building is a victorious church." Amen. I believe, I've been a Christian over 40 years. I've had many highs and many lows, many tests, many circumstances, but I believe in the victorious Christian life. That means no matter what I go through, I am more than a conqueror through him that loves me. I stay connected with God. I keep praising him, and I trust him. Amen. I believe in a victorious church. I believe in a united church, gathered in Christ, standing in love. This is what God is building today, a house all over. And we practice it in the places where God's put us. We practice love. We practice commitment. We practice standing together. We practice caring for each other. We practice body life, giving to each other, supporting each other, where God has given us. So the book of Haggai, one of my favorite books, just a tiny little book, so easy to understand. The people went back to build the house of the Lord, and they got distracted. Problems came up. And they were hindered from going forward. But anyway, when they finally got back to the work of building the house, which had fallen down, Solomon's temple had been destroyed, and the house where God would dwell, And it says in verse 6, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations." Or it says, "The desires of all nations shall come. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine." Hey, there's not going to be lack of finances to build God's temple. What God is doing in this day, God will provide for it. But I love that. When the nations are shaking, that's not the only thing the Bible says. Everything's going to shake. The nations will shake, and the heavens will shake, the earth will shake. And what happens at that same time? I will fill this temple with glory. Woo! That's what it says when the heavens and the earth are shaking. And do you feel it shaking? I do, but praise God, we're on the rock that's cut out without hands, and it's rolling. And it says, "I will fill the temple with glory. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former." Everything God does, it's glory to glory to glory to glory. It's always getting better. It's always moving to the next level. It's always going forward and upward. That's the kingdom we're in. You're a part of it. That's your destiny. We together have the keys. This is a ministry of the church. This kind of a ministry is a corporate ministry. And God will fill the house with glory, the glory of the latter temple. Well, you can always go back, whatever. The glory of the first outpouring in the book of Acts. That was the first Christians. Here it says, the latter house will be greater. It won't just be in one city. It'll be in every city. Amen. The glory of England in the past. What glory this nation has seen. Spiritual revivals. I still believe that the glory of the latter temple will be greater. And it says, and in this temple, in God's house, where God's presence is, I will give peace or safety or a refuge, place of refuge, place of reconciliation, place of healing of relationships, place of healing for people. In God's temple, there'll be glory and peace. I'm just going to read one more thing in verse 20. And again the word of the Lord came to Haggai, and he said, "Speak to Zerubbabel," that was the governor, the David's line, the kingly line from Judah, governor of Judah, saying, "I will shake heaven and earth, I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms, I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them, and horses and their riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel," or my kingly, priestly people, "my servant, and will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you," says the Lord of hosts. A signet ring. That's the keys of the kingdom. And God says, "I have chosen you." That really grips me. That's what Jesus said. "You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you, commissioned you." We're ordained from Jesus Christ to go forward and bring forth fruit. And the gates of hell will not prevail. They will not be able to overcome us. Amen. But that is the church on the rock and the church committed, standing, bonds of love. This is something God is doing all over. So let's just stand up. We really want to just open this up tonight and just also take these keys and we can loose God's purposes and loose God's plan, and we can bind up the works of the enemy, the hindrances and the blocks in your own life and what would keep us from moving forward.